fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Friday. It is Friday, the 5th day of August, year of our Lord, 2022. Welcome to the John Moore Show. I do occasionally mention why I say year of our Lord. Well, for two reasons. First of all, it's true. Second of all, it really upsets the atheists and the Muslims. So it's several good reasons to say year of our Lord 2022. We do start with the Pledge of Allegiance, I'm proud to say. And here we go. Everybody stand, face the flag. Gentlemen, remove your hats, right hand over the heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Prepper tip of the day, I may be giving this more frequently, with the things I'm learning. It's a saying, been around for many decades. In time of peace, prepare for war. I say again, in time of peace, prepare for war. Mike Adams put out an analysis of his opinion. I have to agree with just about everything Mike said in his analysis. Mike Adams, about a 20-minute little dialogue he did last couple of days. His analysis of what's really going on with China and Taiwan, that it's maybe subterfuge to distract and obfuscate what's really going on. Going back to the cutting edge intelligence provided by Jeff Nyquist about the more than 900 cargo ships being loaded with weapons of war. This is, by the way, only one coastal province in China. There are several coastal provinces. We happen to get this information from one of the coastal provinces, the high-level officials discussing what it would take to load up more than 900 cargo vessels with the weapons of war. Now, that alone would be way more than what's necessary to invade the relatively small country of Taiwan, only 70 miles away. Now, part of the statement, now, the conversation was recorded secretly, gotten out of China secretly, Well, the Chinese official did figure out some of the men and women involved, and they've been arrested and executed, apparently. And during in that statement, and Mike Adams, by the way, is married to a Chinese national, and so he speaks some Mandarin. And I don't believe he's quite all that fluent in it, but he understands Mandarin much better than I do, which is not at all. And of course, his wife speaks, is a native Chinese speaker. But one of the statements, this is critical. One of the statements made in that secretly recorded, it's just less than an hour, maybe 56 minutes or so, is these officials talk about crossing the ocean. Now, the 70 miles between Taiwan and the mainland is not regarded as the ocean, it's the Formosa Straits. And pretty much without a doubt, the men having this discussion know that they don't call Formosa Straits the ocean. And that's part of the discussion in that 56 minutes. They're talking about loading up more than 900 cargo ships with weapons of war. They also talk about crossing the ocean. There's also a drop-dead date given of the 1st of November. So what have we got now? Not quite, just a fraction more than 3 weeks left of August. And we got 2 full months of September, October. That's pretty quick. That's pretty much in our face. I personally don't have a whole lot to do to get ready for war. Everybody's going to have their own situation. I've been preparing for war for decades. Not specifically, but if you're ready for a grid down situation, you're pretty much ready for war. So please take my prepper tip today to heart, that in time of peace, prepare for war. We already have our first caller, and we're expecting Tom Berryhill to call in any moment. We have John in Tennessee. Good morning, John.
Good morning, John. Have you seen or heard anything of the opening ceremonies of the Commonwealth Games
That's all over the
Britain?
alternative media. That it is all over the alternative media, and of course I've seen it. For those who don't know, this was a stadium in which town was it in England? Do you recall, John?
I want to say it was Birmingham, but I'm not positive. I guess
I think
they would
that's
call
right.
it Birmingham.
A city in England, Birmingham, and they had these athletic games that they were having opening ceremony for, and it's pretty easy to find this video. It's very alarming, very disturbing. It begins with Prince Charles arriving in an Aston Martin, by the way, getting out with his very ugly wife after
Camilla.
his Camilla, right? We don't need to go on that, but yeah, I saw it. There was a huge piece of equipment that looks like a bull, that moves like a bull, has smoke coming out of its nostrils, and I think mostly women dressed up to worship this bull in a very passionate manner. They're worshiping this bull. So that's all over the alternative media. I'm sure most of our listeners have already seen it, John.
Well, you know, what's disturbing about it, John, is that it lines up with the Bible in so many different ways. And yet, look, I know that there are countries, there are nations, there are people that want to do you and I and others great harm. And I don't doubt for a moment that China wants to take over and Russia wants to take over. But you know what? The United States and Great Britain are no better. Look at what has gone on. In your face, satanic ritual ceremonies, and the news media, Sean Hannity, Fox News, Fair and Balanced, CNN, all the rest of them are silent on it. We have symbolism in Times Square of biblical revelation, biblical creatures in Times Square, and the media has been silent about it. The church has been silent about it. I don't see, truthfully, short of God returning, Christ returning and setting things straight, we have given ourselves over not you and I, but the world has given themselves over to unclean lust. They've defiled their minds. They're beyond a point of reconciliation. So we're worried about military attack. We're worried about an economic crash, but yet we have no understanding. We're making very little preparation to meet God. And it's really, really, really disturbing. If anyone hasn't seen the video, just type in opening ceremonies, Commonwealth Games, and watch it, and your mouth will hit the floor. If you have any biblical understanding, it's not amazing. It's amazingly disturbing because we've allowed it. And I'll venture to say that the churches on Sunday will be silent. No one will, and those that know won't say anything. Those that do, those that don't, if you were to tell them, they'd say, I think you're taking it a little too literal, John. They don't know what they're doing.
Well,
it's really disturbing.
I'm sure many conservative Christian pastors will address that this Sunday. There's no way to know how many will or how many won't. Anything else, John?
No, that's it. I'd like to hear comments as long as you're waiting for Tom. If anyone has seen
Tom's here. So we're going to move right on to our topic of the day.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call. And we do have patiently waiting because he's such a patient guy in the green room, my friend Tom Berryhill. Tom began a quest more than a half a century ago to understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with emergency survival communications, ham radio, and electronics in general. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, John. Good morning. And you didn't have to cut John off so quick. I mean, that man is a wealth of information. He's something else.
Well, he was finished with his dialogue there, so it's time to move on.
I enjoy hearing him.
Well, Tom, you probably didn't hear the first 5 minutes of the show, did you, sir?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, there's a $20 fine for missing that. But moving on.
Okay, I'll pay cash.
Okay. Mike Adams, in the last couple of days, has done his personal analysis of what's going on with the Nancy Pelosi Taiwan trip. And as I said earlier in the show, I agree with his analysis that it may well be a subterfuge to distract us from what Communist China is really planning on doing and is prepared to do, which is invade the United States. We had some discussion last night at my meetup. We had one of the biggest meetups we've had in years last night, by the way. I didn't get a count, but I'm thinking about 25 or 30 people were there. Maybe Dan Sutterfield or Leon Green got a head count. I didn't get a head count myself. But we spent a few minutes talking about the very clear and present danger that Communist China presents to us right now on the 5th day of August, 2022. Without going out any deeper at the moment, we need to jump into why and how people need to prepare with proper knowledge and proper acquirement of ham radio equipment and shortwave radios, and also ways to listen to the emergency responders in their area, which would be the fire departments, police departments, sheriff's departments, paramedics, and so forth. So let's just jump right in there and let people know, because this is radio, we have new listeners every week. Our favorite website is the ARRL, that's Alpha Romeo Romeo Lima.org website, where people can find everything they need to get started with ham radio, can't they, Tom?
Yes, that's right, John, and that's a starting point. A lot of information available there on that website. There are books, manuals, just web information. Everything is right there, and it's a good starting point. And it's very late in the game if you wanted to get your ham license before anything drastic takes place. Who knows what tomorrow brings, but I guess better late than never. Just get the information and start studying. I think anybody could do it in less than a month. Two or three weeks of study, a couple of nights a week, maybe 2 hours a night. I think anybody would be able to pass the test. There's online websites that have simulated tests, the ham radio tests that you take, multiple choice. and it uses the actual questions from the pool of questions that would be asked if you were taking that, the FCC test. And you'll know when you have a passing grade on those simulated tests that you're pretty much ready to take the actual test. And it's a relaxed atmosphere. It's usually at a ham radio club, and they use volunteer examiners nowadays. Now, like the old days, we had to go to a federal building, and some mean-looking examiner would administer that test. It was nerve-wracking.
I'll tell you why they were mean. They had to come in on what would normally be their day off to do something they really didn't want to do. That's why they were mean.
Doesn't surprise me, but
well, it's
test I took, John, it was a woman that had gave the test, the Morse code test and the written test, and she was pretty nice, and that was at the federal building in Kansas City, but that was 1974 or 5, I don't remember.
Right.
That was way back, and she was rather pleasant, but I know what you're saying. Yeah, they probably got drafted into ham radio testing duties.
These federal employees are salaried. They don't get paid by the hour. So when they come in because they have to on their day off, of course they're going to be upset because they're not being paid to be there. They don't want to be there. And that certainly comes out in their demeanor towards the people that are compelling, they're requiring them to be there, which is you, the test taker. So moving on from there,
when you go to take the test now, you don't have to face any of that, and because the ham radio club usually has several of its members designated as the volunteer examiners. So if you go to your local ham club and get to know some of these people and express an interest in learning and getting your ham license and your call sign, they'll help you quite a bit. You'll already get to know these people, and you will know them by the time you're ready to take the test. They'll be the same ones administering that test. You'll be sitting in a room, and they're the ones sitting up there in the front, friendly faces. They're smiling, nice, and it really, really makes it a lot easier. But it's also easier than ever to get this license because the technical requirements have been greatly relaxed, and the there's no more Morse code test. That's a thing of the past. And it's just a lot easier to get into it. And I'll say it again, I think anybody could do it in 2 or 3 weeks, less than a month for sure, if they just give it a couple of hours a night, maybe 2 nights a week, they'd be able to pass that test.
That's right. Well, getting back to the ARRL.org website, some of the things that you'll find will be helpful there. One of the main things is a locator service that will help you locate the ham club nearest to your home. Hopefully it won't be too far away, but wherever you might be in the continental United States, and well, it probably includes Alaska and Hawaii as well, you can find the location of the ham radio club or clubs, plural, close to your home. If you want to get started in ham radio and get started right, you really need to connect up with the local ham radio club, don't you, Tom?
Yes, that is an excellent way to get started because you'll meet like-minded people that have similar interests, and they will help you get started, help you get on the air. When you do get your license, have your call sign, it can be just as nerve-wracking as taking the actual test, just getting on the air the first time. And your first contact might be with some of them, and they usually are willing to come by and help you set up your antennas and get the equipment adjusted properly and give you the just a little boost that you need to get that thing going and do it right. And I think it's important to learn proper on-the-air style and what frequencies you use. There's just a lot to learn, and these folks will help you.
Absolutely. Here's our break. The call number is 512-248-8252.
Yeah. standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
But I'd like to ask each of you what it is you value so highly that you are willing to fight and possibly die for. We will call that Texas. The Mexican army hopes to lure us into attempting escape. Almost anything seems better than remaining in this place, penned up. If, however, we force the enemy to attack, I believe every one of you will prove himself worth 10 in return. We will not only show the world what patriots are made of, but we will also deal a crippling blow to the Army of Santa Ana.
If anyone wishes to depart, under the white flag of surrender, you may do so now. You have that right.
But if you wish to stay here, with me, in the Alamo, we will sell our lives dearly.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This hour is sponsored by EMP Shield. If you want to protect your car, your spouse's car, car that youngster off to college, with the exact same equipment, no difference whatsoever, the exact same equipment that the Department of Defense uses to protect their vehicles, you can do that at thelibertyman.com. Plus, my listeners are grandfathered in for a very nice $50 discount on each piece of equipment at thelibertyman.com. EMP Shield equipment at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Tom Berryhill, we're talking about emergency survival communications, ham radio. And Tom, And a related topic is electronics. There's a headline here that Steve Quayle's website, it's a short article. The headline reads the following. Lockheed Marietta, I believe, Skunk Works is where they do their highly classified work. Lockheed Skunk Works employee speaks out on technology from extraterrestrials. And this guy has gone public. His name's Don Phillips. And he talks about firsthand experience with electronic devices and so forth involving computer chips, lasers, night vision, bullet-resistant vests, the technologies that extraterrestrials have given us the knowledge we needed to do that. He also talks about leaders of different countries, NATO, were working with these ET races and disseminated reports to leaders of various countries in the 50s and 60s. Now, if you have anything you want to add to that, you're welcome to, Tom. I know from men that other than you, that they have firsthand knowledge of this technology coming from ETs, beginning with the transistor in the early to mid-1950s. Three men with one of the major labs took credit for that, but that was extraterrestrial technology. If you have anything to add to that, Tom, we'd be glad to hear it.
Well, every defense contractor, mostly, I guess, the ones working with aircraft, had certain things that were handed to them. And this is after, I think, what was it, John, 1947?
Right.
The crash out there. At
Roswell.
Out west. Yeah, right, Roswell, New Mexico. And the military came in and picked up all the pieces and hauled it away, and perhaps even bodies of the beings, whatever they were, on the vessel, so the aircraft. So I don't, you put me on the hot seat, John, but I did a lot of business with McDonnell Douglas. And so I saw stuff out there. Every defense contractor has bits and pieces they get to work with and experiment with. And what amazed me, if you study the electronics in general, just study the technology in general, you'll see after 1947 a huge leap forward in technology, the invention of the transistor, things along those lines came about. And it was it took place in that time period, the transistor especially, and then that went into chips. I remember by the mid-60s, they were coming out with DTL and RTL logic chips, and that really gave a huge boost to the computer industry. And then the TTL logic and then CMOS logic, when I got into working with this in the early 60s, I was just a little kid, but I wanted to make things, and I'd get books out of the school library. And when I was 9 years old, I actually made a receiver that I drove little brass nails into a piece of wood and use those for tie points to hook the components up that I robbed out of old radios and TVs. And I built a radio from scratch, but I didn't design it. I got the plans out of a book, but it gave me some hands-on.
Right.
And then I started working with transistors shortly after that. They were just coming into play in a big way by that time.
Right, right. Okay, well, I think we've covered that sufficiently. We have about an hour break. Call number is 512-248-8252.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Always new things posted there. Sometimes it's exclusive content you'll find nowhere else on the internet. Seriously, nowhere else on the internet. Articles written by my friend Steve O'Neill, the nuclear scientist, published nowhere else on the internet. The articles updated every week. The latest intelligence briefing, put together every week by a friend of mine, a former counterintelligence agent. No, they're not published anywhere else on the internet. And of course, products that are very special. We'll be talking at the top of the third hour with Brady, the production engineer at Liberator Rocket Heaters. Winter will be here before you know it, about 3 months, 4 months, depending on where you live. You want to stay warm and cozy and save money. Check out the Liberator Rocket Heaters. It is really the way to do that. And, of course, the energy cleaner. We happen to have the manufacturing energy cleaner with Mr. Tom Berryhill. We like to help people get their lives back. And with the energy cleaner, you can do that. If you have issues with arthritis pain, what are you waiting for? If you have issues with sleep, what are you waiting for? The energy cleaner will help with both. Are you doubting, Thomas? No sweat. Because I offer, for me to you personally, a 90-day money-back guarantee. Hundreds of you listening already have an engine cleaner. Here's how to make it more effective. That's with the Micro Plus Throw. They're cozy. They're soft. You can put them on your bed, on your recliner, on your car seat, and get more use from the energy cleaner you already have. Only $75 shipping included. They're in stock, ready for immediate shipment. Tom, I'm expecting a shipment from you of energy cleaners over the weekend, I believe. Aren't I, sir?
Yes, sir. That's right.
Okay. So check out the energy cleaner at my website. You can place your order right at my website using PayPal. You can call my toll-free order line 24 hours a day. That's 800-592-9543. We're talking about emergency survival communication, ham radio, and how to get started. And the first mistake that most people make getting involved ham radio is buying the wrong radio, isn't it, Tom?
Yes, and you know my thoughts on that. And that is a handheld HT, a walkie-talkie. And the hams, the new hams want to do that. That's the first thing they latch on to. And that sometimes, there's nothing wrong with that. And that radio can be put to use, but it, if that's going to be your main radio, you're in big trouble. They have very limited range, and
nothing wrong with it if you can afford a $300 mistake. Nothing wrong at all if you can afford a $300 mistake.
Well, yeah, and it will come in handy. You can certainly use it for close range communications, and I mean real close. But it can be handy, and it's better, I think, to make your initial investment in a higher powered base station type unit or a mobile unit, maybe at least 50 watts. On get a dual band type of unit that'll operate on 2 meter, the 146 megahertz range, and also on the 450, the UHF band. Some of these radios also cover 6 meters. That's the 50 to 54 megahertz band. That's a pretty good frequency range for local communications, but in a wider area, it's a really good way to get some wider coverage. And then that's with a technician license. If you do get your general class or higher, the extra class, the next one, if you get one of the higher class licenses, you'll be able to get on the HF bands. And then there's a big selection there. And that's when it gets a little more complex, because now that equipment, even with very low power, can allow you to have worldwide transmissions. And you'll be heard in other countries, and you'll hear the other stations in those countries. And there's a lot of skills needed to, even though it seems simple, there are some skill sets needed to set up those antennas and adjust them properly and get all that going in a proper way. And that's where the Ham Club members can help you. A lot of the people there have already traveled that road, and they know that technology pretty good, and they'll be able to help you not waste a lot of money. Now, you want to talk about wasting money, John, just setting up these antennas. You can really spin your wheels and get stuck in the mud if you're, if you don't have the skills yet and you just start buying things blindly. It can be an education for sure, at a minimum.
It can be an expensive education. Tom, we got
you know what? Yeah, let's go.
We have a caller here. We got Bill in Wyoming. Morning, Bill.
Good morning, John, Tom. The Communications Act of 1934, which is a statute, of course, passed by our friends in Congress, basically elucidated something which probably haven't heard anybody talk about in years. It's a very simple concept. It's an international concept that Communications Act of 1934 was the first time that this particular concept ever got into American communications law. But it's always been a matter of, if you have the need for emergency communications, you don't have to have an operator license. You don't have to have a station license. You don't have to have any license at all. All you have to do is have the equipment and the need to communicate, and you have the legal right to use that equipment in an emergency to further communications to serve the emergency. Okay?
That's true, Bill, and I've addressed that topic a number of times over the years, but go ahead, sir.
Okay, well, I haven't obviously heard you, listened to you for as long as you've been on the radio. The first time I ever saw you, and the only time I ever saw you in person was way back, I don't remember the year, but they had a preparedness thing in Springfield, Missouri, and you were there talking about Planet X. I remember
right,
that.
Right.
But the bottom line is that I think it's far more important. My first FCC license was a CB license, and I had to wait until 6 months after I became a CBer to actually get it, because you had to be 18 to get it, and I was 17 when I started working fresh out of high school at Western Electric and met a CBer in the parking lot and became a CBer. But the bottom line is that it's far more important, in my humble opinion, to actually start learning what you need to know to get into any kind of electronic communications before you worry about getting a license or anything else. Because the bottom line is my education in electronics started before I could even walk. I remember crawling over and getting and separating the extension cord and the lamp cord and reaching in and getting my first shock when I wasn't even old enough to stand up and walk yet. But I was old enough to crawl around the living room floor and get myself in trouble. I remember that shock to this day. It didn't make me cry. It didn't make me scream. It basically was just a point of confirmation for me that, yes, there is something there. Now that I took three semesters of electronics in high school and learned approximately as much as I could have learned from a couple of books from Radio Shack. Okay. After I had taken three semesters of electronics in high school, I subsequently got out of high school partway into my senior year and went to work for Western Electric, this was in 1972, early 1972. I went to working at Western Electric manufacturing plant in North Denver, making $800 a month, which is a lot of money for a 17-year-old kid to be making with nothing more than a promise of a high school diploma after they're printed. That would not had it not been for those individual tiny little steps in my development towards becoming eventually a broadcast radio engineer with a first-class radio license that I had to actually go to the FCC license office in Denver and sit and take. You want nerve-wracking. You ain't seen nerve-wracking like taking a first phone license test the first time. In an FCC office. I know you guys are talking about ham licenses. Okay, those ham licenses aren't essential to anybody having a job like having a first phone is if you're in a broadcast environment. If you don't have a first phone radio license, you can't get a job for anything at a AM radio station that has a directional antenna array where you have to have a first phone just to log the readings. Okay. But the bottom line is if anybody wants to get involved in radio communications, I say, okay, get involved in radio communications. Go buy yourself something like a family radio service, handy talkie or something like that you can pick up for about $20-$25. Get on, start talking on, actually start meeting other people that talk on them. I've had a technician class license for over 6 years now, and I've had less than half a dozen QSOs on the dual band HT that I bought, which is the only ham radio I've ever bought, which has hardly ever turned on anymore. The bottom line is that I have it. If there's an emergency, I can turn it on and I can participate in the emergency. I could actually provide emergency communications to people. And even if my license expires, by law, I have that right under the Communications Act of 1934. We need to stop worrying about officiousness and start worrying about functionality when it comes to radio communications. And time is short. I think people really ought to just go out and by themselves, if they want to be on a radio and talk to other people on a radio, go out and buy the blessed radio and start talking to people. Don't worry about all of this officiousness. Because the FCC is a paper tiger now. They consist of a dozen or so vans with two engineers driving around all over the country investigating reports of interference. Your odds of encountering an FCC agent are extremely limited if you don't interfere with anybody in a harmful way.
Okay.
Get yourself a radio and start talking. Don't worry about getting a license. Don't worry about all of this other officiousness, because it's not going to gain you anything in an emergency that you'll be able to participate positively in if you actually have radio communications capability and the knowledge to do it.
Okay, Bill. Thank you for your call. On one hand, Tom, Bill's information is correct. You don't need a license of any kind to talk during an emergency. On the other, he's wrong. Because once people find out they don't need a license to talk in an emergency, they don't proceed to get the knowledge they need to communicate effectively. And that's the danger of Bill's statement, that people will not get the knowledge they need to be an effective radio operator. And so on one hand, Bill's knowledge or information is correct. You don't need the license to talk if there's an emergency. On the other, and I've seen this happen myself, Tom. Several men and women, once they find out they don't need a license to talk during an emergency, they don't get the knowledge they need to talk effectively. And there is knowledge that's necessary, and studying to get your ham radio license will give you the basic knowledge you need to effectively listen and talk on ham radio, won't it, Tom?
Wow. Yeah. John, I have several comments about Bill's comments. First of all, he's absolutely correct about the emergency. But what is the definition of emergency? You have to look at that Communications Act of 1934 as amended. You always have to throw that as amended in there. But and before that, it was a Federal Radio Commission. But anyway, no, you don't need a license in an emergency. There's been people that have picked up a microphone in a police car and called for help because the cop was injured or whatever, and they helped out. That was an emergency. They didn't need any kind of a license to do any of that. There's been other instances of things like that happening. But I will tell you this, you better get the legal definition of an emergency as it you know, in the Communications Act of 1934 as amended, get the up-to-date definition of that. And who defines that? Who defines the word emergency? That's very
Tom,
important.
Let me help you out here. If life and or property is at risk, that's an emergency. If our listeners are mature, responsible adults that actually own and read books, and they're mature enough to know when there's an emergency, when life or property is at risk, and a wheelbarrow full of gravel turning over is not property at risk. A fire that puts the home at risk is an emergency, just to give a couple of examples. So I wouldn't get too caught up in that. Mature, responsible adults can tell when there's a bona fide emergency and when there's not. So that's a nuance that I don't think is necessary to go down that road. But it doesn't obviate the knowledge that you can talk without a license during an emergency does not obviate the need, and it is a need. These radios are complex. They're far more difficult to use than a cell phone is. You know, children can pick up a cell phone and work them routinely. But you have to have knowledge of antennas. You have to have knowledge of the various frequencies, how the radios themselves work, what frequencies you need to be on to talk to the people that can help you. Those are all things that you're going to find out once you get your ham radio license and become part of a ham radio club. And ham radio people, they will work with you as long as it's obvious that you're working to get your ham radio license. Once it becomes obvious that you're not working to do that, You're probably going to be persona non grata at a ham radio club, aren't you, Tom?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, a few extra comments on what Bill was talking about. You know, I have a commercial license, and I have a ham license. And I took both of those. My extra class test I took in the mid-70s, and I got the commercial license in the same time period. I don't remember which one I took first, but I'll tell you this, that extra class ham license was harder to get than the commercial license. It was the most intensive, brain-racking test I ever took at an FCC office. Well, it was incredibly difficult, and we had to draw schematics. We have a break.
We have a break. We have a caller on hold. We'll be right back.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
But if we fail, then the whole world, including the United States, including all that we have known and cared for, will sink into the abyss of a new dark age, made more sinister and perhaps more protracted by the lights of perverted science.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Tom, we got our last caller here. We got Robert in Illinois. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, sir. I am calling Tom with a technical slash equipment question. I have a quad band radio. I got creative. I took my mobile antenna and created a extension with it, and I've put it on the end of my gable of the house. The antenna is above the peak of the house. However, when I am trying to listen to various transmissions, I put the radio on scan. I get a readout, a digital readout, that I can picking up transmissions, but I cannot hear them. Is there something that I need to do by raising the antenna or get a different antenna?
Okay, you have a meter or a LED display that shows there's a signal there, but you're not hearing it. Is that what's happening?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now, perhaps you have a squelch setting that's too high. If they're FM, a quad band would be like, what is it, like 6 meter, maybe even 10 meter, 2 meter, and 450. Is that the band you cover?
Yeah, that is correct, sir.
Okay, well, you know, you may have the squelch settings wrong. I've seen hams have, they'll use a digital squelch mode, and it's not a regular carrier squelch, and then a signal comes on, and there might be a meter indication, but or a lamp, a signal received lamp, or whatever they're using on that piece of equipment, and they don't hear anything. And that's the idea of that, is it filters out or mutes and squelches, just like the controller's name, it squelches everything in the background, all communications except the ones that have the tone or the signal that is needed to unsquelch that receiver and allow the audio to come through. You may have a setting wrong with that. It's something to take a close look at. But if it has a good indication that there's a signal there, that's about the only thing I can think of without actually seeing how you have it set up. I don't think it would be your antenna. I think it's something, a setting in the equipment itself.
All right, I'll try to investigate and see what happens. Thank you.
You know, here's what you might do is totally turn off all squelch settings. Set them to nothing, so it's a carrier squelch only. And then do your tuning around and see what you're going to hear. You may have a squelch setting, a tone squelch for activity or repeaters and other stations in your general area that you normally talk to, and that works fine. But then when you're tuning around, you can use these ham units as a scanner. You can tune in the local police and everything else, and that's where the problem could arise because you don't have the tone frequencies for the squelch that they're using. And it's pretty simple to just turn it off. Put all squelch settings to carrier squelch only and just see if that doesn't make an improvement.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, Robert. Thank you for your call. Tom, thank you, sir. We'll talk privately soon. Appreciate it.
Thanks, John.
We have a top of the hour break. We'll be right back.
Sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.